all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, and we seek His help, we seek His aid, we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the wickedness of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no one to lead them astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to err, there is no one to guide them toward the right. I openly bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone and without partner. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, a messenger, and the seal of the prophets. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have exalted Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. You can proceed. Inshallah ta'ala, this group of lectures, The Basics of Islam, is basically taking the writings of the other students of knowledge, or the other scholars, or the other imams, and just making them accessible for the other people to hear. This is not a person trying to reinvent the wheel. When you have something beautiful that has been given to you, you take it, alhamdulillah. So I'm just trying to take this opportunity to bring exposure to different teachers and whatnot, and bring them to this site, inshallah. So if we cannot physically get them here, then inshallah we can get their works here. So inshallah, this particular article is from the writings of Imam Muhammad al-Sharif, inshallah. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, one day entered the masjid after Asr. Towards the front of the Masjid al-Nabawi, he drew closer and sat down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded that anyone who enters the masjid should not sit until he prays first two rak'ah as salutation of the masjid. Imam Malik rahimahullah rahmatullah alayhi was of the opinion, however, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's forbiddance of praying after Asr took precedence, and so he would teach his students to not pray the tahiyyatul masjid, the prostrations to the masjid, if they entered between Asr and Maghrib time. At that moment that Imam Malik rahimullah sat down, a young boy had seen him sit without first praying the two rak'ah of tahiyyatul masjid. The young boy admonished him. He said to Imam Malik, "Get up and pray two rak'ah." Imam Malik rahimullah dutifully stood up at once, and he began to pray the two rak'ah. The students of Imam Malik saw him do this, and they were stunned. And they were asking themselves, what is going on? Had Imam Malik's opinion changed? So after Imam Malik had completed these two rak'ah, his students swarmed around him and questioned him about his actions. And then Imam Malik rahimahullah rahmatullah alayhi said, "My opinion has not changed, nor have I gone back on what I taught you earlier. I merely feared that had I not prayed the two rak'ah as the young boy commanded, Allah may include me in the ayat where he says in translation, 'And when it is said to them to bow in prayer, they do not bow.'" Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah rahmatullah alayhi held the opinion that eating camel meat nullifies one's wudu. This was an opinion that the majority of the scholars differed from. So some of the students of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah rahmatullah alayhi asked him, "If you find an imam eating camel meat in front of you and without first making wudu, then leave the salah, would you pray behind him?" Imam Ahmad rahimahullah replied, "Do you think that I would not pray behind Imam Malik? Allah's creatures differ. His human beings, we differ. It is the law of creation. We have different tongues, different colors, and different cultures. all that on the outside. On the inside, humans indeed were created with many degrees of knowledge, intellect, and comprehension of concepts. This is all a sign of Allah's all-encompassing power to do whatever He wills. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran in translation, and of His signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the diversity of your languages and your colors. Indeed, in that are signs for those of knowledge. Indeed, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, as humans, we shall differ. But that is not the issue. Excuse me. The issue is, how as a Muslim should one confront these differences of opinion? And what should our relationship with someone of a different opinion be? Excuse me. Allah Ta'ala commanded us to call and advise people in this deen of al-Islam. Many Muslims set off on this mission blindfolded, not realizing that the map was there in the Quran, in the Book of Allah also. In fact, in that very same verse where Allah commanded us to call and advise people in this deen, Allah Azza wa Jalla taught us how to do it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the following verse, invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good instruction, and argue with them in a way that is best. Indeed, your Lord is most knowing of who is rightly guided. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, there is no need to philosophize. No need to talk in the flower gardens. It is right there, plain and simple, for anyone who would take heed. There in that ayat from Allah, there are three ingredients to apply when we disagree with someone. The same Allah that taught us the debate to debate the truth taught us how to do it. With hikmah, with wisdom, with good instruction, and to argue in a way that is best. So we ask ourselves, what does it mean to have hikmah when differing with someone? The grandchildren of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once set one of the most beautiful examples of hikmah, of wisdom, in advising others. Hassan and Hussein, in their young age, once saw an elder man performing the wudu incorrectly. Together, Hassan and Hussein arranged a plan to teach the man without insulting him, advising him in a manner befitting of his age. Together, they went to their elder and announced, "My brother and I have differed over who amongst us performs wudu the best. Would you mind being the judge to determine which one of us indeed performed wudu more correctly?" The elder man, he watched them intently as the two grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed wudu in an excellent manner, in an explicit manner. And after they had completed, he thanked them and he said to them, "By Allah, I did not know how to perform wudu before this. You have both taught me how to do this correctly." We must understand that there are two dimensions to hikmah. Firstly, there is hikmah of knowledge. And secondly, there is hikmah of action. Indeed, some people may have hikmah of knowledge, but we see that when they are correcting others, advising them, they lack the hikmah of actions. And this causes many a common folk to reject the hikmah of knowledge. To illustrate this hikmah of knowledge without hikmah of action, a brother once completed the salah in the local masjid, and then he proceeded to shake hands with the people on his right and on his left. The brother to his immediate right slapped his hand and snapped, "This is not a part of the sunnah." And the man replied most correctly, "Oh, is disrespect and insult part of the sunnah?" To show hikmah when we differ requires the following. First of all, it requires sincerity. If we differ, our intention should be that we are differing in the sincere hope of coming away with the truth. our intention should be sincere to Allah. We should not differ just to release some hate or envy in our hearts. We should not differ to embarrass someone like we may have been embarrassed before. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever learns knowledge, knowledge from that which should be sought for the sake of Allah, only to receive a commodity of the material world, he shall not find the fragrance of Jannah on the day of resurrection. Secondly, we must display kindness and gentleness. To have hikmah when differing means we should rarely depart from an atmosphere of kindness and gentleness. We should seldom allow ourselves to become angry and raise our voices. Fir'aun, Pharaoh, was one of the most evil of people that lived. And Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, was one of the most noble. And let us look at what Allah Azza wa Jalla told Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, to say to Fir'aun, or how he told him to approach Fir'aun. When Allah Azza wa Jalla says, go, both of you, to Fir'aun. Indeed, he has transgressed. And speak to him with gentle speech. Perhaps he may remember and fear Allah. At one time a man, he entered upon the Khalifa, and he chastised the Khalifa for some policies he had taken. And the Khalifa replied, by Allah, Fir'aun was more evil than me. And by Allah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was more pious than you. Yet Allah commanded him, and speak to him with gentle speech. Perhaps he may remember or fear Allah. Thirdly, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to take our time and clarify. To have hikmah when dealing with others is to be patient and to clarify things before snapping to conclusions. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah rahmatullah alayhi narrates with his chain of narrators leading to Ibn Abbas, who we have spoken about in our Seeking Knowledge lectures. He said, a man from the Bani Salim passed by a group of the Prophet's companions. At that time of war, the man said, As-salamu alaykum to them. The companions concluded that he only said As-salamu alaykum to them as a deception to save himself from being caught. They surrounded him, and one of the companions, Malham, killed him. And from that event, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the verse where Allah says in Surah Nisa, O you who believe, when you go forth to fight in the cause of Allah, investigate. And do not say to one who gives you a greeting of peace, you are not a believer. Aspiring for the goods of worldly life, for which Allah are many acquisitions. You yourselves were like that before. Then Allah conferred his favor, meaning his guidance upon you. So investigate. Indeed, Allah is ever with what you do acquainted. Fourthly, we must speak kindly. Never trade in kind words for harshness, especially when dealing with other Muslims. Look at the power of a sincere and polite word. Mus'ab ibn Umayr was the first of ambassadors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. Before Rasulullah had arrived in Medina, Mus'ab had taught the people of Medina about Islam, and the people began to enter the deen. And this enraged Sa'd ibn Ubaidah, one of the chieftains of Medina. So Sa'd took his sword and set off for the head of Mus'ab. And when he confronted Mus'ab, he threatened, stop this nonsense you speak, or you shall find yourself dead. And Mus'ab, radiyallahu anhu, replied in the way that should be a lesson for us all. this man before him, Sa'd, he did not stop at rudeness and ignorance. He wanted to cut Mus'ab's throat. So Mus'ab said, "Say you not sit and listen for a few moments. If you agree with what I say, then take it. And if not, we shall desist from this talk." So even in his anger, Sa'd sat down. Mus'ab, radiyallahu anhu, spoke about Allah and his messenger until the face of Sa'd, his face shone like the full moon. And he asked Mus'ab, "What should a person do who wishes to enter into this deen?" And after Mus'ab had told him, he said, "There is a man, if he accepts this deen, there is no home in Medina that will not become Muslim." And he said, "My home, the home of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh." Look at what a kind word did. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh went home to his tribe in Medina that night and announced to them, "Everything of yours is haram upon me until you all enter into Islam." That night, every home in Medina went to bed with La ilaha illallah, all because of a kind word. Muawiyah ibn al-Hakim al-Salami, when he came to Medina from the desert, he did not know that it was forbidden to speak during Salah. So he relates, "Whilst I was praying behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man sneezed, and I said, 'Yarhamakallah, may Allah have mercy on you.' The people glared at me. So I said," and keep in mind this is during the Salah, "he said, 'May my mother lose me. What is wrong with you that you are looking at me?' So the people, they began to slap their thighs with their hands. And when I saw that they were indicating that I should be quiet, I stopped talking. I nearly wanted to answer them back, but I controlled myself and kept quiet. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had finished praying, 'May my mother and father be sacrificed to him,' I have never seen a better teacher than him before or since. He did not scold me, nor hit me, or put me to shame. He simply said, 'The prayer should contain nothing of the speech of men. It is only tasbih and takbir and recitation of the Quran.'" My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Islam shows us how to differ with another. Some people think that we should never differ at all, and all disagreements should be avoided. But I submit to you that this is an incorrect assumption. For the Quran and Sunnah show clearly that when a mistake is made, it should be corrected. Indeed, helping others do what is right is a requirement of the deen of al-Islam. Sincere nasiha. We see when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away from Abdullah ibn Maktoum, the blind man. Indeed, Allah himself corrected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran when he said in Surah Abashar, "He," meaning the Prophet, "frowned and turned away because there came to him the blind man, interrupting. But what would make you perceive, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that perhaps he might be purified or be reminded and the remembrance of Allah would benefit him?" When Hatib, may Allah be pleased with him, radiyallahu anhu, made the mistake of writing to the kuffar of the Quraysh and informing them of the direction in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was headed on a military campaign against them, Allah revealed the following words, "O you who believe, do not take my enemies and your enemies as allies, extending to them affection, while they have disbelieved in what came to you of truth, having driven out the Prophet and yourselves, only because you believe in Allah, your Lord. If you had come out for jihad, fighting and striving in my cause, and seeking means to my approval, take them not as friends. You confide to them affection and instructions. But I am most knowing of what you have confided and what you have declared. And whoever does it among you has certainly strayed from the soundness of the way. And so on, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, thus we learn that when a mistake happens, it should be corrected. However, the method of correction is what needs our attention. Whenever Muslims argue, it is as if each party carries a banner of, I must win and you must lose. Careful study of the Sunnah, however, shows that this is not always the case with the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us consider the following examples. Excuse me. I lose and you win. From amongst the Bedouins, there came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a man. And he said to Rasulullah, give me from what Allah gave you, not from the wealth of your mother, nor from the wealth of your father. When the Sahaba heard this man, they were furious at the man and stepped forward to discipline him for what he had said. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing wisdom, he commanded that everyone leave him. Then he took this Bedouin man by the hand, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took him to his home, and he opened the doors of his home, and he said to this man, take what you wish, and leave what you wish. The Bedouin man, he did so. And after he had completed and taken what he wanted to take, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, have I honored you? And the Bedouin said, yes, by Allah. And then the Bedouin proceeded to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. When the Sahaba heard of how the man changed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them, verily, the example of myself, you and this Bedouin, is that of a man who had his camel run away. The townspeople tried capturing the camel for him by running and shouting after the camel, only driving it further away. And then the man would shout, leave me and my camel. I know my camel better. Then he would take some grass in his hand and ruffle it in front of the camel until the camel would come willingly. By Allah, had I left you to this Bedouin, you would have hit him and hurt him, and he would have left us without Islam, and eventually would have entered the hellfire. Another example is, I win and you lose. A Muslim should not have an apologetic stance to everything he is confronted with. Indeed, there are times when the truth must be said, and there is no room for flattery. When the Makhzumi women, a woman from an affluent family named Fatima, stole, people approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to ask him to cancel her punishment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very angry, and he went to the pulpit and announced, by Allah, had Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, stole, I would have cut her hand off. No room for flattery, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam. The truth must be stood up for. It is here that the etiquette of disagreement that we talked about earlier should shine. And the third example is, I win and you win. Indeed, I submit to you, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, there doesn't always have to be a loser. We see in many cases that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a way out for the people he differed with. When he sent a letter to Caesar, for example, he said in it, become Muslim and you shall be safe, and Allah will give you a double reward. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say to Caesar, surrender or die. Nothing of the sort. He said to him, become Muslim and you shall win. Rather, your victory shall be doubled. And inshallah Azza wa Jalla, I will end with the shining example of how to act with other Muslims from an example of our role model, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radi Allahu anhu. Abu Bakr once disputed with a companion about a tree. And as I tell this example, think about the time when you disagree with your Muslim brother and Muslim sister and how you respond to this thing that you don't like or that hurts your feelings. During the dispute, Abu Bakr said something that he would rather not have said. Indeed, Abu Bakr didn't curse. He did not even attack the man's honor. He did not poke fault at anyone. Abu Bakr had only said something that he thought might have hurt his companion's feelings. So immediately, Abu Bakr, having understood his mistake, he ordered his companion, "Say it back to me." And the companion said, "I shall not say it back." Again, Abu Bakr ordered, "Say it back to me, or I shall complain to the Messenger of Allah." Imagine this. Abu Bakr was the one who had done wrong. And he wanted the man to treat him equally. And when the man refused, he said, "Either you do this or I'm going to tell the Messenger of Allah." And the companion, he refused to say it back to Abu Bakr, and then he proceeded to go home. So true to his word, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and related what had happened and what he had said to the companion. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called that companion and he asked him, "Did Abu Bakr say such and such to you?" And the man replied, "Yes." So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "What did you reply?" And the man said, "I did not reply it back to him." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Good. Do not reply it back to him. Do not hurt Abu Bakr. Rather say to Abu Bakr, 'May Allah forgive you, O Abu Bakr.'" The companion turned to Abu Bakr and said, "May Allah forgive you, O Abu Bakr. May Allah forgive you, O Abu Bakr. May Allah forgive you, O Abu Bakr." Abu Bakr heard this and he turned away and he cried as he walked away. So my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, let us leave from this circle, from this site today, with a resolve to revive the air of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, the air that they breathe, an air of mercy and love and brotherhood. So indeed, even when our brothers and sisters offend us, whether they do it on purpose or whether they do it by accident, just like the man who was instructed by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, or what, the man who was instructed, who was offended by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, simply ask that Allah forgive you. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Barakallahu fikum wa jazakum khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.